You are now listening to Productivity Boss Moves with Robert Price. For more, follow me on Twitter at Robert Price CO. Welcome to Productivity Boss Moves. This is your host, Productivity Coach Robert Price, and I am so grateful to be here with you all once again. Today, we're talking about three key ingredients that will make you choose the right career path. And the reason why I'm so excited about that, as I usually am excited about whatever topic we're talking about on the show. And it's funny, when I was thinking about that, I was like, I always say, man, I'm really excited about what we're talking about this week. And the reason why I say that is I truly believe that the things that I've experienced and I've learned and I've been able to benefit from in my life and just be able to observe other people to benefit from. I just believe that if a person who's listening would apply it, if you're listening, you would apply it, it would really change your life. And that's exciting, because to see someone go from struggling with something to being, to overcoming in that area and really being able to change their entire life because of it, it is something that excites me. It's something that I live for, and it's the reason why I show up every week to address the various topics that we go into. So once again, I'm excited with that being said, and I'm saying that because this week I was interviewed by a college, and they were trying to get some insight from me as to why, what I believed was the greatest factor as it related to retention and graduation rates. Like, what's the greatest factor in getting that up? And my response really was about pointing it back to the episode we talked about last week, which the main thing was purpose. And the reason I said that is, and I told them, I said, if my natural strengths don't support what I'm studying, or if I'm not genuinely interested and feel connected to a subject matter, it doesn't matter how hard I study. Like, if it just doesn't fit me like a glove, then 9 times out of 10, like, I'm not going to succeed in that area. So if I'm not, if I'm not interested, I talked about the art class that I got a C in, and at elementary school or middle school, and the reason why I got a C in the class, I wasn't interested at all. The gym was right across the way, and I was a lot more interested in playing the sports, and that was more natural to what I wanted to do. And so, therefore, I never got anything but an A in physical education because I was genuinely into it. So, anyways, that was the short conversation that I had with that institution. But just really quick, so the acronym for today is SNL, and so that made me think of course, SNL is a, you know, comedy show, and it made me think of, like, what is my favorite comedy show of all time? And I'll tell you, my favorite comedy show of all time is probably Martin. I just laugh uncontrollably when I watch that show. It doesn't matter how you know, long ago it's been made. Every time they pull it back up, and I hear they're trying to get it back together. And it's funny because as much as I enjoy that show, I'm not too interested in them, you know, kind of bringing it back. I just enjoy watching the reruns, and I just think it's phenomenal. I think Martin is hilarious. He's definitely one of my favorite comedians of all time, as I talked about on a previous episode. But yeah, Martin, I think that one is it. And one thing that I wouldn't say it was my favorite, but it's definitely one I can like watch over and over again without thinking about it, and it's The Office. And so anyone who loves either one of those shows, Martin or The Office, we could definitely, you know, talk about that, or, you know, because I just really enjoy both of those. And The Office, I even hear now they're going to take it off of Netflix. So I'm interested to see what they're going to do with that, because, like, literally, that's my go-to Netflix show. Just put it on and let it keep running. And so, anyways, let's get into the content for this week. Again, we're talking about three key ingredients that will make you choose the right career path. And so we're still in the academic really series. And the thing about this is, you know, there might be a student who's, you know, they're in school right now and they're undecided, or they're have a major that I chose this, but I'm really not interested in this. I don't know, you know, or you might be an adult in life who you went to school for a particular thing, or you didn't go to school at all. You just chose a job and you went down a certain career path, and you're just like, man, this is really not it. I would not like to do this for the rest of my life. But I wouldn't know the first thing about what direction I should, like where I should start to figure out the direction I should go in. Because the apprehension and the anxiety that you might be having is, even though I don't like doing this, I would hate to start over doing something else and lose the years and experience that might have a financial benefit or long-term benefit to it, and then now I'm doing something else for a short period of time that I don't enjoy. I figure out I don't enjoy it, and then now I lose not only the leverage that I gained from doing this other thing that I've had so many years doing, now I'm moving on from something else, and now I feel like my time is wasted even more, and I hate to keep going around and around in a circle like that with different career paths. And so I stay put. And I don't want to move forward. I don't want to take action on what I'm truly feeling inside, because I don't want that to be the case for me. But I tell you what, you only have one life to live. Really think about that. You know, wherever you're sitting, you're walking, you're doing something, like really think about the fact that you only have one life to live. After this is over, that's it. And so, is it best spent with you doing something that you truly don't enjoy doing? And even on a deeper level, you weren't made to do. Have you thought about what your life would look like if you were doing something you enjoyed doing, or essentially what you were, you know, made to do? So I don't want to, you know, leave you out on an island with those questions, because someone is like, wow, that's really deep. That's having me think a lot. But I don't even know where to begin on that. So I want to give you some items that you may have heard me talk about before, but I'm bringing it back to you here, and I really want you to think about it and take action on what we talk about here. So just really quickly, Number one, the S in this SNL acronym stands for your strengths. So I'm going to mention three things, right? I'm going to mention the DISC assessment, because sometimes people sit there and they say, hey, I don't know my strengths. Well, there are tools that were created to help you with that. You know, figure out what your strengths are and say it to you in a very explicit fashion where you're able to see and you know, have more self-awareness and be able to properly place yourself in an environment based on, you know, those findings about your strengths. So with the DISC assessment, I'm actually a certified DISC coach. So what you can do is you can this is what I'll do. I'll put a link that you can click on to book, to get your, DISC assessment and book a free consult, with myself. And yeah, you'll be able to do your assessment and you'll be able to do your assessment and get some free coaching on that. And you know, therefore be able to go into way greater, you know, get to know yourself in way greater depth than you do right now, and you'll find out, you know, how you are naturally and how you behave when you're under pressure and, you're being observed and what that looks like. So that's, a service that is available to you. And that's regardless of, you know, where it has no financial, no financial tie to it. So I'll put that, link in the show notes. That's number one. Number two, there's an assessment called the Myers-Briggs assessment. And I talked about this assessment before. This assessment changed my life. I had a couple of friends who were hounding me about taking it. And I had taken a few different assessments in my life. And I was just like, you know what? I'm good. But then they got me to do it. And I did it. I got the wrong results initially because I didn't answer, like, well, I skipped a question or something. And then went back, did it, got the right results, and just read it like, oh my goodness, where has this information been all of my life? And I was able to find out, you know, they break it down into these four different groups. There's 16 different personality types in this assessment, but there's these four groups that people, you know, may fall into based on, you know, what your assessment shared. And I was able to find out that 10% of people who fell in this four, you know, who fell in this group, they call it the rationalists. You have the rationalists, the idealists, the guardians, and the artisans. Those are the four kind of quarters in this quadrants, and the way they separate this assessment. But the rationalists actually make up only 10% of the population. And I told this story before, how I used to be in school and I just felt like, man, like I feel like what I'm thinking is right, but literally nobody in a class agrees with me besides, and if I'm in a class of 30 people, nobody in a class agrees with me besides maybe one or two people. And that was not by chance. That's actually supported by statistics. So once I was able to find that out, I was able to gain more confidence and comfortability in the way I thought, and was able to, you know, process things a lot better. So that assessment did everything that my friends hoped it would do, and that ended us down a path of really talking about that assessment for countless hours. So it truly helped me. But even simpler than that, I want to share with you this question that I want you to as to, I want you to ask this question to, you know, three people, at least three people in your life who you have a really strong relationship with, who can speak about your strengths and just observations they made about you. And I want you to ask the question this way. I want you to ask, what do you believe comes easy to me that's hard for most people? That's it. What do you believe comes easy to me that's hard for most people? Another way you can ask the question, one of my clients really enjoyed this way of asking that question, was, when I walk into the room, what just walked in? When I walk into the room, what just walked in? What just came in? What do I bring with me when I go places? And I believe that's something that people rarely do. Like, I'm gonna ask somebody what are my strengths, but I think this can begin to give you some insight into the key areas that you might be overlooking that you should be focused on. Because I truly believe there are some things that come easy to us that, you know, you might just overlook because it comes easy to you. Like, you might not think it's that valuable because you just do it without thinking about it. But when you truly examine it, it could be something that is worth a lot to others who struggle to do that thing that you do easily. So that's another thing. And so that's the S, your strengths. So what are your strengths? So doing that exercise definitely is going to put you closer into your, being more self-aware. The next thing, the N, is your natural interest. So, just thinking about, what are you naturally interested in that nobody like pressures you to do or pushes you to do? It's just like when you're home from work and you just need like 20 minutes to just decompress and not think about anything. What are the things that you end up doing? And I don't want you to just throw away things as if, it's just Netflix, or it's just this, or it's just that. It doesn't really mean anything. Because I guarantee you, from person to person, that answer is different. Even if, two people might watch Netflix, the things they tend to watch are different. One person might be into action, the other into drama, the other into comedy, and all those things kind of provide a little bit of insight. I know for me, sports is a huge personal interest. And so it's just something I naturally do when I'm like, okay, I've done, work for the amount of time that I was supposed to do it for, and now it's time for me to take a break. Boom. What are they saying on, ESPN or Fox Sports 1, or, what are people talking about from the games? And, it's just something I naturally do. Or another thing I naturally like to do is play games. So board games, card games, whatever it is. Like, I'm always the one who gets turned down to play. I'm always ready in that respect, in terms of games. So, those are two things. So for me, how I can use that in my career is, there are some things that I actually naturally, I end up gamifying for my clients and different people I work with. I end up, gamifying things because I use that natural interest in, something being gamey into how I present the information. It ends up being helpful to the people. So don't even something like that, may be considered, you're just wasting time. Well, think about how you can use it to your advantage, and now you set yourself apart from the competition in your business or even the competition in your field that you're going against for promotions or, you know, whatever you are seeking to accomplish. And, you know, that particular area, I believe, is definitely overlooked a lot. Because even I think about the kid who they had the Fortnite tournament recently, and he won $3 million in the Fortnite tournament. And then I think second place won like $900,000. And although, you know, majority of the, you know, people, Generation Z, who's playing, you know, Fortnite, although they might not make $3 million playing it, that's not the point of what I'm saying. The point of what I'm saying is to really study your interests, study the things that you're naturally doing already, and figure out a way to, you know, incorporate that into your life. Like, even going deeper into my interests, like, there are actual positions at colleges and community organizations where planning events as it relates to games and activities and things of that nature, that's actually what the person does. So it would make sense that someone like me who's interested in that type of stuff already would pursue a position of that, you know, of that elk. So anyways, I really don't want you to overlook that component as well. And then, so that's N, so your natural interest. The last thing, the L, is your life experiences. So when you think about, I think about college. So I was involved, I was a director for intramural sports and area supervisor for intramural sports and recreation. And one of the things I had to do with that experience is I had to make schedules. I had to make schedules. I had to, you know, do a lot of administrative work and gain a lot of experience using Excel. And, you know, with Excel, I think I took it for granted, like the experience I was gaining using that, because it never occurred to me. Like, I never took an Excel class in college. So the things that I knew to do and that I used via Excel was based on that experience, the skills that I developed in that management role, and the knowledge that I incurred doing that. And with that said, because, like, and I didn't even realize it, because a couple of weeks ago, my wife had asked me a question about Excel. And I was like, oh, yeah, you just do this and then you do that, you know. And she was like, oh, wow, that's so much easier than what I was doing. And it didn't occur to me that, oh, the reason why you know how to do that so easily is because you had this experience where you had to figure out the easiest ways to, you know, to do that stuff. And even as an administrator later on in college with different reports and things I had to figure out, I'm like, okay, these are skills that may not naturally fit my strengths, but they are skills that I developed just through experiences that I had that I could also use as I figure, okay, what's the career path for me? As I figure, you know, combine that into when I'm looking at my strengths, my natural interests, and my life experiences, and even, I didn't even think about it, but I was able to put a productivity tracker together for some of my clients, and I did it through just the information I learned about Excel, not just in the administrative work I was doing in college, but also with the work I was doing. Wow, I'm drawing a blank here. Also with the work I was doing, wow, I'm really drawing a blank. I guess sometimes that happens. What am I, Oh, what I did in school. See, I wanted to forget about that experience. So that's why it was so hard for me to come up with it. No, when I was studying for my MBA in statistics, that was the one class I actually got a C in grad school. So I really had to get it together after that course. But just through the work I had to the formulas and everything I had to learn with Excel and that course of study, that actually helped me to be able to use formulas and things that I needed to put the productivity tracker together. So just use your experiences to your advantage as well. But those are three areas that you might, you know, kind of naturally overlook. Hey, I don't necessarily think about what am I good at? What are my strengths a lot? What I don't necessarily think about my natural interest in that context. And then I try to forget about my experiences for the most part. But I'm saying don't forget about them. Remember them. Think about the parts you liked about your experiences and the part that you gained, you know, a higher level of understanding and that maybe the average person doesn't have that level of understanding based on the experience you went through. And so that's the SNL, the SNL ingredients, the three key ingredients that will make you choose the right career path. And so just really quick, I want to, I'm going to go to the boss move of the week. So the boss move of the week goes back to the S principle, with your strengths. And that is to survey those three people, you know, that are close to you in your life and ask them this question, ask each of them this question. And that question is, what comes easy to me, but is hard for most people? Again, what comes easy to me, but is hard for most people? Another way of asking it, like I shared earlier, is when I walk into the room, what walks in? You know, what does my environment receive from me wherever I go? But again, the original question is what comes easy to me that is hard for most people? And literally answer that question, you'll be surprised. And what that'll do is help to show you some areas that you could be naturally overlooking that you're good at. And so that's the boss move of the week. And I want to share with you, if you would like to go deeper. So I've been doing these free coaching calls this past week. I brought it up on the podcast last week. And I did it the one day. It went so well on Tuesday that people wanted to do it on Wednesday. And then now there's more people that want to, you know, do it this week. So I'm having two calls Tuesday and Wednesday at 7 this week. And I'll put the link to the calls in the show notes for you. And it's the same link for both sessions. But I'm really coaching people on, and this has everything to do with what we're talking about still, but I'm coaching people on discovering their gift / brand identity. And it'll help you go deeper for those of you who are like, you know, I'm enjoying the podcast. I like the information you're sharing. This is very insightful. But I just want to go to a deeper level. I want to go to, you know, gain deeper insight. And so that call, you know, will help you do that and expose you to some other resources that I have available to help you really go into it. Because I try to give you all I can in this time. But, of course, there's a lot more where this comes from. So that call will help you figure that out. And that is all for this week. So remember, it's not enough to dream. We must do something about it. I'm Robert Price, your productivity coach. helping you focus on what matters most. Have a productive week. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Productivity Boss Moves. If you have any questions, topic suggestions, or just want to say hello, follow me on Twitter at @RobertPriceCO. If you haven't done so already, please take a minute and leave a quick rating and review of this show on Apple Podcasts. It will help me to keep delivering life-changing information for you every week.